Hey everybody, this is James Lindsay. You are listening to New Discourses Bullets, where I give a short bullet point-like summary of a single topic relevant to woke that we all need to understand so we can defeat it. And I want to talk about psychopathology and its relationship to woke here today. Now, I have to be very careful, so let me start with a disclaimer. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I have no training in these fields, and I am not attempting to make diagnoses. I'm just going to point out something we've all noticed. Plus, if you want to see more about this from somebody who is qualified to talk about it, I recommend you look at what Jordan Peterson has had to say about this. Peterson has talked about the role of so-called dark tetrad traits, cluster B personality disorders, and so on within the woke phenomenon pretty extensively. If you don't know what those are, they're pretty important. The dark tetrad traits are related to psychopathy, being a psychopath. And they are, if I can remember them off the top of my head, they are, let's see, narcissism, Machiavellianism, which is the willingness to lie and deceive in order to get your way, to get power, sadism, and it might actually be psychopathy or something like that. I'd have to think about it. The cluster B personality disorders are your narcissistic ones. Narcissistic personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, and borderline personality disorder. So this isn't getting into cluster A disorders or cluster C disorders that also have some relevance in the woke universe, such as paranoid personality disorder, schizoid personality disorder, and others, which are not cluster B. But anyway, he's talked about these at length. I'm obviously not a psychologist. I couldn't even name all four dark tetrad traits off the top of my head. That's not my point. Not for this episode. Those are all worth looking into. I do recommend, as usual, that you look them up, read about them, see what you can see. What I want to talk about is a concept that I think that I've been misnaming. I'm going to call it, in this episode, ideological psychopathology. That's a very specific term. What I mean by that is something different from essential psychopathology. And what I've been calling it in the past apparently has another meaning, which is functional psychopathology, which is a term I like. You could call it behavioral psychopathology as well. That's a fair enough term. Maybe behavioral is better than ideological, but I want to talk about the ideologically driven side of it. So I'm going to talk about ideological. And the reason I want to get away from this word functional is because functionalism is a school of thought on the one hand, and something called functional psychopaths exist, which are high-functioning psychopaths who are essentially psychopathic, but that are good at it. And I don't want to confuse things too much. So I'm going to use the term ideological psychopathology as kind of being downstream from something we could call behavioral psychopathology, which is the point of this episode, is to distinguish it from essential psychopathology. So we have to do a little bit of philosophy here for a moment, and that philosophy is the word essential. Essential, we often take in a kind of everyday sense of the word to mean something we really need. We couldn't get along without something that's essential. But in philosophy, essential means referring to your essence, that is, what you actually are, your substance. In other words, it's something you cannot change. It is what you actually are. Okay, so an essential psychopathological situation would be one that you are stuck with. You are born with it, or it was ingrained so early on in your experience in life that it's incurable. Very frequently, especially with what's called essential psychopathy, you are born with it. You have had some kind of an injury or maybe an illness that maybe took place in childhood or whatever that damaged certain parts of your brain that render your empathy centers low functioning or non-functioning, and you are therefore by definition a psychopath due to actual things that cannot be changed. It is essentially who you are. It is incurable. Now, the same kind of essentialism I'm talking about here is the kind of essentialism that you are essentially your sex. You are either male or female. There is no getting around that. There is no changing it. There's no transforming it. Why? Because your sex is part of your essence in a philosophical sense. So it is part of your essential circumstance. The whole transgender phenomenon is not taking place in the realm of the essential. It's trying to throw out the realm of the essential. It is taking place somewhere else in the social arena called the phenomenal. And so what it's actually doing in a philosophical sense is putting the phenomenal as being more important or more basic to one's identity than their essence, when in fact the essential aspects of who you are of central importance to who you are, to identity. And so anyway, that's a digression. The point here is that there are, in very basic terms, there are some people who actually have psychopathological disorders, be that psychopathy, cluster B personality disorders, some of the cluster A or C personality disorders, or whatever. And then there are people who don't have them, but act like it. That's the behavioral part. And a lot of times that action is downstream from having adopted what I would call a psychopathic ideology, like communism or fascism. They're both psychopathic ideologies. And there are others. And so maybe you can think of some. I want you to think about these kids that were on the internet. This became kind of a thing. We're all kind of aware of this idea of social contagions now. And you saw it was kind of made the news of these young people who started to develop the tics and habits of people who suffer Tourette's. Tourette syndrome obviously causes certain tics, whether they're physical tics or verbal tics. I don't know if anybody knows why it happens. I don't know why it happens. I don't know what the deal is with it. All I know is that for some reason, the affectations of people who had Tourette's somehow became a viral video phenomenon on social media among young people. And a lot of people, particularly young women who seem to be more susceptible to this kind of thing in general, it seems, started to mimic those, not even fully consciously. They started to develop Tourette's-like symptoms, even though they do not have Tourette's. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about with functional or behavioral or ideological psychopathology. These are people who do not necessarily have narcissistic or other cluster B personality disorders, who do not necessarily have real dark tetrad traits into their personality. They are not essentially psychopathic. They just act like it, usually in service to some psychopathic ideology. And I think that the reason that this is important is because while actual psychopathology is not contagious, functional psychopathology, like the Tourette's ticking, is contagious. It is socially contagious. It can be a behavioral pattern that you adopt in order to fit in and belong with a group and gain status within it. And so this gives us an actual working definition of a psychopathic ideology, which is an ideology set up around the concepts or the behavioral patterns or a social status mythology or mechanism that rewards functionally psychopathic behavior and punishes normal behavior. And so this is why it seems like the diagnosis of cluster B personality disorders sits so well with so many woke people who cannot possibly have that many personality disordered people in the population. They are, if you want to use the phrase mind virus, infected with a mind virus. And that mind virus makes them behaviorally psychopathic or psychopathological in service to the ideology and the social group that it generates in its thrall. And I think this is an incredibly important concept to understand, because what you ultimately have is a whole lot of people who are behaving almost textbook according to psychopathological behavior patterns, who would not qualify for a diagnosis of such, and also who can unlearn those patterns, just like the teenagers who were not consciously mimicking Tourette's could unlearn those behavior patterns and stop doing them. In other words, a lot of the psychopathic type behavior and personality disordered type behavior of woke people can go away. They are not lost. They are not fundamentally broken. I would say some percentage of them probably have been pushed beyond the edge. I don't know the mechanisms for sure of personality disorders, but I bet some of it is not physically essential, but rather psychologically essential to the environment that you're in. And some people's brains can break from the circumstances in some sense, and maybe literally. I don't know how all that works. But I think it's very important to be able to understand that what we're dealing with, when we're dealing with a psychopathic ideology like communism or fascism, woke in all forms, we are in fact dealing with the kind of, it's like an ideological framework that exports and rewards psychopathic and psychopathological behaviors, literal psychopathy, literal diminishment of empathy, literal splitting. So splitting is a symptom of narcissism and psychopathy, where you split the world into us versus them and cast it in terms of strong good versus evil, light versus dark kind of terms as a result. It's commonplace in borderline personality disorder among the cluster Bs in particular. And so not everybody, most people don't split all the time. However, I think once you become in the thrall of a friend-enemy distinction-based political ideology like communism or fascism, among others, you start to immediately take on this mental framework. There are the people who are with us in the cult, and then there's everybody else who's an existential threat and problem, not just to us, but to everybody, including themselves, and they have to be remedied. So you've split the world into us versus them, and you increasingly act that way. You might call it allies versus oppressors, if you want different language. Or you might call it heritage Americans versus immigrants or others or outsiders or whatever. However you frame the friend versus enemy is a matter of the ideology itself, but the friend versus enemy distinction in politics, which gets adopted under these ideological frameworks, is in fact the symptom called splitting, which is a symptom of psychopathy and borderline personality disorder and perhaps some forms of narcissism, which means you have people who adopt a mode of thinking that is not essential to who they are in service to the ideology and the community built around it that is behaviorally psychopathological. And the more they practice this and the more they are beaten into it, the worse it gets. And so on the outside, what you see are exactly the kinds of things we see from the crazy leftists on the streets and all the videos that are, say, they're protesting ICE or they were out for George Floyd or whatever else it happened to be. Maybe they're burning down buildings and they're saying things like that, you know, learning about privilege is supposed to be uncomfortable, or that looting a store like Target is fine because they're a capitalist oppressor and they deserve it. I mean, these are, in terms of everyday behavior, functionally or behaviorally psychopathic behaviors, but the reason they're doing it is justified through the psychopathic ideology. And if you were to break them free of that, which is ultimately a cult mentality and very hard to break them free from, they would act differently. So the point of this episode was just to introduce this idea that there is a contagious aspect. The mind virus aspect of woke is actually a kind of contagious pseudo-psychopathology. They're not really psychopathological. They're just acting that way in service to the social group built around the ideology that has at its core a psychopathic structure. And so I think that's very helpful to understand the mind virus. It's a conceptual framework. Like I said, I am not qualified to go into the diagnostics of this or to even talk about it in detail, but I think it's an intriguing idea. And I do hope people that are out there that are qualified to talk about this in a more clinical and precise way will dive in and will do so. We'll develop this concept and do some productive things with it. But I think this is most of how woke works. And my podcast is about explaining how woke works. So I thought it'd be good to share.